views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Not back. They just got here.
It's a new Sunday. I know you were all here last week, so welcome to We the People, brought to you by the Red Tea Party. We're having a really fun morning.
Welcome to the chaos.
Yeah, I went to put my headphones on. They got caught on the desk, and I popped the ear things off, and so I'm actually talking with no headphones. But anyway.
And somewhere her cell phone is in the room, but we can't find it, and it's not set on silent.
This is the sign of a really good day. So welcome, everyone. If you want to give us a call, the number is 530-605-4567. To stream live or chat, go to readingteaparty.com and click on the radio show link. We have a great web page there, a media page that gives you all of the archives of previous shows, lots of information about our sponsors and future shows. You can also access all of the videos from our Monday night meeting. So there's a wealth of knowledge and information on that media page, which is graciously created by Robert. So good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Chandler.
You want me to call you so you can find your phone? We can unhook the headset. Oh, whoops. If only you could see this. Some days it's just so darn funny.
You know, when it was raining this morning, I knew we were in trouble.
Oh, something. Anyway, well, it's a good thing we have global warming, though, because it was cold at my house.
Well, you know, it's not global warming anymore because, well, that theory went out the window. It's now climate change.
That's right, because we're not having an ice age, and now we're not having global warming, so now we're having climate change. It's so much fun. Hey, so we have Kevin McGarry with us this morning, the author of Instanity, and he's actually on the phone.
Yes. Yes, we do have someone that knows where their phone is and can tell time.
Yes, it's awesome. And there's just no problem here except for that little headphone thing at the beginning. But I think we just do that just to see if anybody's...
listening. We don't want things to be too predictable and too perfect. Otherwise,
no.
You might get bored and go back to bed.
That's
but
exactly
if we're falling all over ourselves here to put the show together, you might actually tune in for a good laugh.
Yeah, and hopefully you enjoyed last week. Last week was awesome. We're going to see if we can get Rosa Corey to come up and do some educating up here.
Yeah, I highly recommend listening to last week's show with Rosa Corey. I have to tell you that I was spellbound. The woman is incredibly articulate, and the thing that I like that she said was that everything that she states, she can back up with fact, because part of her profession is to be an expert witness, so she has to be on the money. So when she gives you a fact, you know that it's true. She can back it up.
Yeah, and normally she would come from a completely different point of view than the rest of us, because she said she considers herself to be liberal. But it was funny because everybody I talked to said, "Does she know she's not liberal?" I was like, "No, I'll wait till she comes up and you can tell her." So anyway, you're going to like that. All right. Let's just talk to Kevin since he's actually on the phone. All right. Here's the beginning of Kevin's blog. Our common sense, the U.S. Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, and our foundations of faith are under severe attack. This has compelled Kevin McGarry to write about what he observes as the new era of illogical and completely irrational agendas dominating current U.S. government leadership. I don't know what we're going to talk about for the next 2 hours, because I haven't got the vaguest idea what he's saying there.
I don't think we can cover 2 hours with that very broad topic.
I don't think anybody's noticed any of those things. Ugh. Hey, Kevin, are you in there?
Good morning.
Good morning, folks. How are you?
Thanks for hanging on the phone for 10 minutes while we tried to pull it together here.
My pleasure. It's awesome. It's an awesome privilege to be here, and I thank you for allowing me to join you today.
Well, you know, we had you on before, and I think that was when we had 1 hour, and I remember that we just couldn't even get into this topic deeply enough in 1 hour, so we're really happy that you were able to come back and that we've got an additional 2 hours for you.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
And thanks to one of our sponsors, Miller Auto Transport, for finding your book and making that available to everybody.
Yeah,
and
Bill Miller was the impetus for getting you involved with us. And that's another note to make to any of our listeners out there. We actually love it when you can come up with ideas. You know, we work really hard to bring in great speakers, but if anybody listening has an idea of someone that we might bring in, please let us know. You can go to 1460 at readingteaparty.com, and that's the email address. You can send information about possible speakers.
Absolutely. There we go. Got one absolutely in for the morning. All right, so Kevin, fire away. What's you've had 10 minutes to collect your thoughts rather than be, you know, haphazard like we've been. So where do you want to start?
Well, there's so many things going on right now. You know, our current leadership and especially the White House is not at all short on activity. You know, there's the way that our president seeks to polarize America on this immigration debate. There's, you know, Common in the White House, this rapper coming to the White House this week. There's the whole Bin Laden killing of a couple weeks ago that our leaders are trying to really exploit. There's so much that has happened and continues to happen with this White House, and so much of it is, you know, in my opinion, complete insanity. I mean, we may even have some good things happen, like the Osama killing, but in reality, the way that it was handled, providing the dignity to that scum of a Muslim funeral burial, if you will, at sea, it just the amount of pandering, the amount of insanity, it's just completely illogical. Especially, you know, after our president said that, well, Osama's not even a Muslim, and all of that prior to that. So, I mean, we have a lot of different directions we can go at. We can talk, you know, about anything. I mean, there's so much going on that we have. I'm sure we could fill up the 2 hours and then some.
Well, maybe you could give us a little bit of your history, how you came to the conclusions that you came to that ultimately inspired your book.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, let's start there. So, my history is I think it precludes me from being a Republican hack or some sort of, you know, spoon-fed conservative from birth, because I was born in Hunters Point in San Francisco and lived there, you know, in abject poverty, basically, and lived there in government housing until I was about six. And my parents never really wanted to depend on the government to that degree, so they moved us out of there and bought a middle-class home in San Francisco. And they worked hard, but, you know, I had, you know, I've come from a background and a household that had my dad, who was just a runaway alcoholic for the first 18 years of my life, mom working hard, you know, so Dad was still in the house, but, you know, we had to deal with his alcoholism and all of that stuff. But essentially, middle-class upbringing, public school, and what I came to realize is that I was really firmly indoctrinated in a Democrat kind of mindset. Even though my parents were and are Christians, still together today, continued to vote Democrat. Later in life, when I became a thinker on my own, began to look at liberal policies and the plight of African American communities and poor communities in general, and it just didn't add up. Didn't add up. If we're spending all this time, all this effort, all these government resources in these communities, why is it perpetually, these communities perpetually in bondage? And what I came to the conclusion is that literally these communities are economically enslaved to the government. In other words, when FDR passed, all of his sweeping social policies, what he recognized in doing so is that would ingratiate himself to these communities, poor communities in particular, and communities of color, and that literally these people would be, certainly they'd be dependent on the government, but from his perspective, they would be, they would ingratiate themselves to the Democratic Party for generations.
And hey, Kevin,
I think everybody could see that, that was a masterful plan, because even till today, you have well over 90% of African Americans voting Democrat because they actually believe that being dependent on a government is a good thing. And that just robs the soul of everything that God put in us. It robs the individual of dignity, and it's a horrible state.
Kevin, on that point, we've got to take a quick break.
Okay.
We're going to come back and explore that a little further. This first break comes out as kind of quick. Sorry. You are listening to We the People here on KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All-Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, antique weapons, you name it. Reduces friction, carbon buildup, prevents rust. The first true leap forward in the evolution of firearm care. All-Temp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 1-800-301-0046.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
All the gold in California is in a bank in the middle of Beverly Hills in somebody else's name.
So if you're thinking about coming to California, you might want to think twice. Welcome back to We the People, happily brought to you by the Reading Tea Party.
I know all my gold is in a bank in Beverly Hills with somebody else's name on it. I don't know about anybody else.
I think it's a bank.
It's like, that's a classic song.
So we're on here with Kevin McGarry, and I'm going to kind of cut right to the chase and get right back to Kevin. Everybody knows the phone number to call in and the website. So Kevin, we were talking about how many people in this country think that having government assistance is a really good thing, but also how it deprives them of inspiration and dignity and motivation. And recently some numbers came out that there are actually now more people on public assistance or getting some type of government check than those that are actually paying taxes. So have we passed the tipping point?
Yeah, I think we have. I think the recent statistics are very troubling in the sense that we have poverty at the highest rates in, I think, the past 70 years. So the percentage of people that are actually living in poverty is at its highest rate in approximately 70 years, as I recall a statistic I read a couple weeks ago. And then you're right, there was one that came out also recently about the degree to which people are receiving food stamps or some other type of government assistance. And I think we are past the tipping point. When you have progressives in and around the White House that think that they're doing something altruistic, and yet they're presenting a platform or social programs that actually encourage dependence and not, a short-term support, we've got a real big problem. And I think the distinction needs to be made. So let's delve into this a little bit. As a country, we may feel philanthropic. We are a compassionate country. We are a compassionate people. Certainly, we want to make sure that we take care of people who do run into circumstances in life if we as a country can afford it. So, in order to show compassion, we've come up with social programs. Now, the problem is the programs that have been implemented and supported for generations, they started as systems of support. Support is temporal. Support is a safety net. Dependence is a whole nother realm. Dependence means you are depending on the system for your daily sustenance, for survival. Systems of dependence is not what America is all about. Surely we can and we should help those who have short-term safety net issues because of layoff, because of, you know, whatever circumstances they may have run into in life. And being a prosperous country, we could have that debate and offer those types of services. But when that crosses the line, and we really literally rob people from the ability to use their own God-given talent, skills, initiative, drive, intuition, and those types of things by saying, look, don't worry about finding a job. The government will take care of that for you. Then we actually are a country that is eroding from within. And not only that, but we're finding now that these systems are unsustainable.
Well,
they,
and then you
cannot be sustained over a long period of time.
Well, you have. I had this conversation the other night after one of our Charter City meetings, out the parking lot with a couple guys, and the one guy said, "Well, you know, everybody should have a defined, you know, benefit plan." He was a union guy, and he said everybody should have that. That's just the only way to do it. I mean, don't you care about people? And I said, "Well, you know, at some level." The people that are working, including those people with defined benefit plans, when everybody working in the state of California is going to pay into that, and you look at, you know, our federal dollars, all of our money that we take in goes to cover Medicare, Medi-Cal, and Social Security. There's nothing left. I mean, if the government shuts down, those mandatory programs are in place, and truly that's the only stuff we can afford. Everything else is in the red. Department of Defense, everything else. So I said, you know, how does that work long term? You know, I mean, do we just become like the socialists with everybody working for the government? And he said, well, I just don't see anything wrong with that.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
And so I asked him, I said, well, can you name me a country at any time in history, anywhere in the world, no holds barred, any place for any period of time that where that's worked well? And he goes, well, like what country?
Right.
And I said, no. I mean, any place, any time, anywhere under any leadership, where has that worked well, where everybody was under the control of the government? And that's always where the argument breaks down, because they don't know. They honestly haven't done their homework to find out that it always ends in, well, massive numbers of people getting killed, you know, huge revolutions and all the rest of it. But it sounds good. Like, he's like, well, you just don't care about people that are struggling. You don't care about the middle class.
Oh. Wow. And we are the middle class, and we are struggling, so.
But I thought that was kind of an encapsulation of all the people, you know. I mean, that's a pretty good overview of where a lot of people are right now.
Right. I think it's a cruel injustice, quite honestly, and I understand it. So I am not coming from the perspective of, you know, blue blood, spoon-fed, Republican all my life, or conservative all my life, and I just don't understand it. I firmly understand it. I understand the system because I was in it. I understand it because I came out of it. I understand it because I ultimately had some hard-working parents that are now very successful. Because they've come out of it. Now, I also understand it because I still have some family members in it. So I got it. There's nothing here that would infer that I don't understand the plight of people. I really, really, really understand it. All right?
You know, and the thing is that our whole movement is literally based on fiscal responsibility and
right.
limited government. And what people don't understand is that you can have all of the good feelings in the world, but
right.
in the end, the numbers have to work. Just because you're looking at it from a fiscal standpoint doesn't mean that you don't care. It doesn't
right.
do any good to want to take care of people if there's no money to do it. It's really that fundamental.
Well, it is when it comes down to dollars and cents, but a lot of people have this sort of ethical issue that they have to kind of sort out within themselves. So let me give you a scenario, and I always do this when I speak when I speak with people, especially who are of the liberal ilk and who just don't get it. So here's a scenario. There is a lot of parents out there who have children, and more importantly, men, or boys who have grown up in and around the house. And imagine you're one of these, let's say you're a widow and you have a son, and you love him dearly. You love him dearly, but, you know, he starts to be 18, 20, 22. He's still around the house. Time passes, and he's 40 years old, and he's still at the house. And it's primarily because you, as a loving, caring mother, really want him to be there. You say, look, son, don't go out and get a job. I'm here. I'll take care of you. We'll take care of each other. You do that. My question is this. Because you haven't let that young man become a man, that is cruel. You may have the greatest of intentions. You love him. You're telling him he doesn't have to work, just stay around with you and all of that. But because you haven't allowed him to become the person God created him to be, it is actually a cruel injustice. They have the right motivation, but the result is you have stymied his individual growth. You've eliminated his personal dignity. Now that person is basically in bondage to you. Now, when you leave as a parent, he's lost.
Yeah, I was going to make that point. As the parent, you know, all things being normal as they are, you probably will leave the earth before he does. Then what?
This is exactly what happens with our government. This scenario is what we have with our government. Now, when government cannot afford all of these dependents, right? They're going to start, which is what we've seen. To your point, we've seen it with all Marxist, regimes over time, that when the government really gets pinched, they start cutting back on the services that they offer these people and they've promised them for a lifetime. And then they actually start abusing people. And then they actually start killing people. And then they starve people. So it never works over time. And the only thing that actually does work is what our forefathers put in the Constitution, right? The ability and the right for us to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness on our own. Take individual and personal responsibility for our own destiny. And government is there to simply ensure justice, but not to pick winners or losers, not to enforce certain types of spending requirements or systems of dependence. That is not government's job. That could be your church's job. It could be local community charities' jobs. But it's not the government's job to do that. And so a lot of bleeding heart liberals and especially union members have this whole thing mixed up because a lot of them have not come from the kind of background that I've come from, and I continue to live through family members who are still stuck in that paradigm, and so they have this mentality, this pragmatist point of view, as opposed to a principled point of view about what's really going on there.
And we're going to take a quick break on that note. Come back. And the chat room's kind of lighting up. If you want to check into that, go to readingteaparty.com, click on radio show, and you will find the chat room right there when you click on the listen button. We're going to be back with Kevin McGarry in just a second and thank our advertisers here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All-Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, and antique weapons. It reduces friction, carbon buildup, and prevents rust. A true leap forward in the evolution of firearms care. All-Temp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 800-301-0046.
Got a wife, got some kids, man, I love those barbecue ribs. Worked real hard to earn this day, now it's time for us to play.
Wow, I love that. That is our own Mike Smith from Corning, a great Tea Party patriot. If you haven't heard his music, join the chat room. He can probably give you some information about where you can find it. I know he's got a CD for sale, but I love the lyrics, and he adds it to that 70s rock and roll that I grew up on. I absolutely love it. So welcome back to We the People. Go to the chat room, readingteaparty.com, click on radio show, and if you want to call, 530-605-4567.
And it's either Patriot Music or patriotsmusic.com. I'm double-checking. I think it's patriotmusic.com, but I'm going to verify that before we blurt that out. And you guys heard a couple of ads on there for All Temp Tactical Lube. Jim and Nancy Myatt. Jim has, it's patriotsmusic.com with Mike Smith. You heard about the All Temp Tactical Lube. We were just talking about it during the break. We put some on the microphone stands, actually, that are still swiveling.
Yeah, you did that, it's been, three or four months ago, at least.
And they're still just like, you know, you push them and...
Can't hear a thing.
Swing right over. So that is an awesome, awesome product. And if you're not a somebody with firearms, you're not into that sort of thing, you know what? You still have locks. You still might know some servicemen overseas. They've got a great deal for... the service people, you can have it sent. They'll send it for you. $39.95, and it'll send two bottles. Mm-hmm. So go on the site. Yeah, the ad's right there.
Yeah, you'll find all the contact information on the media page. So welcome back, Kevin McGarry. So we were talking about some of the misconceptions that people have, and specifically people that are in the system somehow that never had, you know, the reality check that you've had, and they don't understand the long-term consequences and the fiscal failure of these social programs.
Right. So, so exactly right. And what we don't realize is that the more we pile on government the systems of dependence, the more unsustainable those systems become. So our Constitution and America was founded on a principle of let's clear the path and allow American citizens to really innovate and engineer their own destiny. They can become entrepreneurs, they can become, you know, any type of skilled or you know, patriot in any way they want, and government is there to support their success. Government is not there to encourage their dependence on it. Government is only there to support the success of the people. If you have that kind of a system through the free markets and capitalism, you will have a very limited government because the role in which the government plays is going to be limited. The more you allow government to encroach upon your everyday living, the larger government has to grow. It's inevitable. Now, what's unsustainable about it is if you have more and more people requiring more and more services from the government, you don't have enough people actually out there creating jobs and futures that would allow more and more people to participate in a sort of capitalistic role in society. And therefore, you have an unsustainable march towards, you know, it's really a death march towards bankruptcy. Because we have too many people in America to have the majority, or even a growing majority, to be fully dependent on government with a shrinking minority of people to support it. And so that's what we're rapidly coming up against. And one of the things that I'm truly disappointed at is I thought that our speaker, Boehner and Cantor, would really hold the line firm on the 2011 budget. We'll see on raising the debt limit, and we'll see on the 2012 budget. But we need principled men and women in our bodies in Congress to really hold the line firm on spending and to really set the bar for our president and his liberal elites who are in the Senate. And if we don't do that, we're really destined for a great, great failure in a very short period of time.
The other thing, too, that I think is just monumentally important, and we live in an area up here where, you know, people for the most part get it, you know? I mean, they get it. We had a showing of Atlas Shrugged sponsored by our state senator and our state assemblyman. So,
wow.
So we live in
yeah.
sort of a little...
I bet that doesn't happen where you live.
No, we live in a little paradise.
Right.
Okay, so there's that. But a lot of the stuff is that shapes all this, especially in the state of California, comes from other parts of the state that I think people haven't figured out how to influence yet. They just figure, it's a lost cause, can't do anything. But here's 2012. It's not that close, but it's not that far away. I mean, it's time to start making some headway.
You know, you've already got national politicians putting their horses in the race, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's there.
But I think conservatives are going to have to stand up. You know, they're going to have to stop lamenting the problem and start really getting out and educating people. So when it comes to this.
So here's what I've done.
Yeah.
I've started the Frederick Douglass Foundation of California.
Hmm.
And so I'm the president of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of California. You and your members can go to FDFC.org and you'll have information about our foundation. A lot of your members may not know who Frederick Douglass was. And so I'll just give you a brief synopsis of who he was, and I'll tell you how we're impacting or intend to impact the 2012 elections. Frederick Douglass was the one who coined the quote, "I am a black, dyed-in-the-wool Republican," because it is the only party of freedom and progress. And he was in the 1800s. He worked side by side with President Lincoln. He was the first to really help enact or help formulate the terms for civil rights legislation back then in the 1800s. So, in essence, this is a man, a real, real patriot who was a slave. He was born into slavery. Self-taught, essentially his slave master's wife helped him to learn a little bit about, you know, alphabets and ABCs and syllables and that type of thing. And she had to back off that after her husband found out. And then Douglass really taught himself how to read and how to write and escaped. And because he had become so eloquent, he was able to pose as one who was not a slave, and had the opportunity to really travel the world, if you can believe that, back in the 1800s as a black man. He was in Europe and a lot of different places around the world because he was so eloquent and well-spoken. And then he came back and began to really work with Harriet Tubman and the underground folks. You know, he instituted the first black-owned newspaper, and he was very, very committed to education. He believed, and it's our thought with the foundation, that education is absolutely the key to ending enslavement. We believe that today, communities of color and, your large urban centers, especially in California, are institutionally enslaved. and that's what we call it, because they're enslaved to a particular mindset, and they're enslaved because they have not been properly educated on the issues. They haven't been educated on the Declaration of Constitution. They haven't been educated on our political systems and processes. They haven't been educated on political issues and policies and agendas. And so, therefore, we go to the polls and we, right now it's reflexive. We just, out of reflex, we pull for the D. What the Frederick Douglass Foundation of California is doing is we're beginning to confront these communities and provoke them and inspire them and educate them and teach them about the truth, about conservative values, about the Republican Party. And although we're not party-driven, we are just conservatives. But in essence, with the two parties we have, the two primary parties we have right now, then, you know, one is going to have to be Republican if we're going to make a change or make a difference. So in essence, that's what we'll be doing. And we're actually partnering with factions within the Republican Party of California, but Del Beccaro and some others, and starting that vital work. We think we can make a difference in 2012. We have the voice to do it. Frederick Douglass is beyond reproach in communities of color. He cannot be construed as an Uncle Tom or anything else, and they love him. Liberals absolutely love Frederick Douglass, so it gives us a platform to have the conversation.
And so, based on, I'm sorry, I was going to say, no, if they, I'm reading everything on your site, I just pulled it up, and I'm going, wait a minute, how come they love him? Oh, shoot. We have a minute left.
We just got the sign that we've got a minute to our next break.
So what? Give us a little sneak preview that we'll take a break and come back and do the long story.
Okay. Oh, you want me to give you a sneak preview now?
Yeah. Give us a
sneak preview. How come liberals love him?
Yeah.
Okay, well, because he was a real patriot. He was he was enslaved, you know, a lot of his life, and actually broke out of that bondage. And he is the epitome of what it means to be a self-educated, self-motivated, a self-made man. And although he held beliefs of a Republican, he is absolutely beyond reproach as it relates to liberal issues. You can't say anything bad about him because he lived it. You know, he was beaten horribly, as a youth and when he ran away and stuff. And he's just the epitome of everything good about America.
That's fantastic! What a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna do more about that. Hey, in the break, folks, if you're on your computer, go to www.fdfc.org and do a little quick reading there. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great website.
We're going to be back with Kevin McGarry here at We the People. We're on KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
If you have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com. Okay, need I say more? Welcome back to With the People. We're wrapping up our second hour here in about 10 minutes.
No, we're not. We're wrapping up our first hour.
Our first hour.
I've only had one cup of coffee.
Kevin, don't hang up.
I've had to cut back on my coffee intake, and it's showing. Anyway, welcome back to We the People, 605-4567 if you want to give us a call, or readingteaparty.com. Click on the radio show link if you want to chat or stream live. So, Kevin McGarry, you finished up that last break talking about your foundation, and you said that you're pretty sure you've got a great voice and that you're going to have an impact on the 2012 elections. Are you talking state or national or both?
State.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. The state needs all the help it can get.
We need more help.
You know, if you look at the condition of the state of California, you look at the result of our last election here. I mean, we are. I was so incredibly deflated.
Yeah.
In November.
I think everybody was.
Because we had such great candidates running who were conservatives. And we literally had the Marxist, communist, indoctrinated folks come out and completely undermine the electoral process here in the state. I really think that there were some underhanded bad dealings, largely influenced by our unions, that really cost us tremendously in that election. But that notwithstanding, I mean, California needs a new mindset. The reason why we're in the position we're in as a state is because of failed liberal policies. If you look at, you know, states like Michigan and cities like Detroit and other large cities, Philadelphia, Chicago, they've been dominated by liberal governance, mayors and governors, et cetera, for generations. All of them are underwater. Absolutely all of them. So liberal policies that create, again, systems of dependence is not only a gross injustice to the individuals who participate in those systems over long periods of time, but they're also very, very costly to the taxpayers and to the state itself. And so we need to make a difference here. And Frederick Douglass Foundation is going to go right into the belly of the beast, right into those communities of color and those urban centers and the poor areas. And we're going to be about educating the folks. We're going to say things that a lot of people cannot say or will not say because they'll be labeled. For us, we're all African-American. We all have come from those communities, and we could speak with a voice that others cannot.
That's
so
awesome.
We're asking for members, and on the FDFC webpage, you can become a member. Our Tea Party brothers and sisters are joining. I had a big event at my house a few weeks ago. We had a lot of members join there. If you believe in the work, become a member of the Frederick Douglass Foundation. There are a lot of people that would try to label Tea Partiers as racist and all this other stuff. Well, wouldn't it be something if you can throw back in and say, look, what are you talking about? I wholeheartedly support good principled programs. Matter of fact, I'm a member of the Frederick Douglass Foundation. And that should help, you know, set them back at least. So please feel free to do that. You can become a member directly on the website, and that just means helping us to get the word out.
Now, Lori in our chat room wanted us to ask you your thoughts on Herman Cain.
Love him. Love him. I really like Herman Cain. I think that, you know, if you look at 2012, in my opinion, the absolute ideal candidate is Alan West. And that's just my opinion. And the reason why I say that is because he has the narrative about what it means to be a principled, patriotic American down pat. I mean, he's been in the military, and he understands the issues, the geopolitical issues with Sharia law, with, you know, Muslims, with Islamic, you know, behaviors. And he doesn't mince his words when he talks to those audiences. He understands what it means to be a principled chief executive. He understands issues around life. He understands, I mean, he I cannot find one thing wrong with Alan West. Not one. He's very, very well spoken. He, you know, he's a businessman. I mean, just everything. Now, Herman Cain is also in that vein. What I don't see with Herman Cain is the outcry of people really calling for him to run. When people hear Alan West, they are really saying, look, this guy, we need to get him to run. I like Herman Cain personally, and I think he, if he were to, you know, be on the ticket, I think he'd do a great, great job. I'm not sure about his, whether he can eloquently demonstrate the brazen incompetence of Obama, like, you know, during a debate, like a Newt or Alan West could. But Herman Cain is quite adept, and I really like everything that he says as well.
Well, and in even having those people in the administration would be a plus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, incredible. Yes.
It's just fun to watch Herman Cain because he's very straightforward, and he articulates the ideas that we're having as we're listening to these guys, and he just looks at them kind of puzzled, and I'm thinking, yeah, like that, and he just cuts right to it, you know?
Right.
Just a guy that just doesn't go the long way around.
Yeah, I really like him, and I hope that if West doesn't get in the race, that that Cain will have the impetus to pull it out. I just don't know if he's that well known.
That's a huge issue.
The groundswell of support to win the primary.
That's true. He isn't very well known, but once you hear him, it's like, and he's not the kind of guy who's flamboyant and off the rails. I mean, he's very, very straightforward.
Very straightforward, yeah.
And but not in a, you know what I mean? Not in a. An aggressive, sometimes that straightforwardness works against you. I know this from reading about it in books, not from being that way, of course. but he doesn't seem to offend people necessarily. He just speaks the truth.
Right, right. That I really like about him.
Are you guys planning to, I know you'll help candidates, but as an organization, as Frederick Douglass Foundation, are you looking to be involved at that level?
Yeah, so we have a couple of primary initiatives. We want to be policy advocates. We want to help establish policies and messaging within the conservative or Republican Party, if you will. We'd like to be invited to the table with campaign strategy, especially if you're going to be trying to outreach to these communities where, you know, conservatives are really in trouble. And the other thing that we're going to do is we're going to be, we'd like to be vetting candidates. We're going to be having workshops where the candidates must go through a thorough understanding of, you know, for instance, what is social justice? How do you even address that from a principal point of view? What does that mean? With the current narrative for it, how do you address that if you get asked that, you know, while you're campaigning, you know, that kind of stuff. We're going to talk about the primary social issues, abortion, immigration, education reform, you know, tax and spend policies, you know, systems of dependence, you know, how does a candidate really frame their messaging around those types of issues?
Yeah, because you have a lot of social, there are quite a few social issues on your site, so you guys obviously weigh in on a very broad base of topics.
Big time, big time. And, but, you know, here's what we find. We find that a lot of Republicans, in particular, they have the primary talking points okay, but when it comes to social issues, they get a little weak-kneed, they get a little bit, you know, mealy-mouthed. And they're not very concise when it comes to addressing the issues from a principled point of view. They tend to leave people cold. They tend to demonstrate some forms of insensitivity. And so Frederick Douglass Foundation, we know how to address that. We'll give them all of the principal point of view. So when they stand up before an audience, they don't have to, you know, manipulate their messaging. They don't have to carve out messaging for this audience and then that, and then change and manipulate and deceive. That's foolishness. They can be principled and on point 100% of the time, but they need to know from a different perspective how to see the issues. One of the problems we've had is we've allowed the liberal point of view to dictate the narrative, and then we're always in defense mode when we try to tell our point of view. What we want to be able to do is to completely reframe the argument. Let's just reframe it. So the liberal argument about abortion, for instance, there's a way to reframe that and have it and put the liberal on the defense and have them to defend their position. But a lot of Republicans and conservatives just don't know how to do that. They just are clueless as to what that issue really is at its core and how to appropriately convey to people why it's important and why they don't necessarily support abortion on demand.
Oh, when we come back after our 9 o'clock break, we are so talking about that. That will be awesome. We'll be back with Kevin McGarry here in about 5 minutes. Grab some coffee. You're listening to We the People here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding. The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. 605-4567 is the number to call or to chat and stream live. Go to readingteaparty.com and click on the radio show link. And we have a very special guest this morning. Someone called in and wanted us to promote you even more than we already are. So if you could give a plug for your websites and your contact information, Gary, that would be terrific.
Kevin McGarry.
Kevin McGarry is our guest.
Yes. So, website is Instanity.com. The name of the book that I wrote a few months ago is Instanity, and it's a hybrid word, instant insanity. So it's Instanity, not misspelled insanity, it's Instanity, I-N-S-T-A-N-I-T-Y. So if you go to Instanity.com, you get all my blogs. I've done some very provocative blogs over the past several months. And you'll get all my contact information on that site. The other site is the Frederick Douglass Foundation. I am the president of the California Frederick Douglass Foundation. And that website is fdfc.org. So those are the two primary websites. Contact information is on both.
Great.
And, yeah.
And as always, we put all of the links about our guests on our media page. Again, you can go to that at readingteaparty.com and click on radio show. So there's no end to the availability of information.
And once the show's over, probably around noon or one or something like that, you can go back to that page, and it will be actually as an indexed page that you can email to a friend or download onto your iPod or whatever. Once we get the recording from the studio here, so it'll be great. All right, Kevin, where do you want to go now? We were in the abortion thing and how you were going to, you know, how you guys have a plan to broach that in a better way than turning it into the fight that everybody loses.
Well, yeah. So here's the issue. A lot of us conservatives, Republicans, whatever, just, you know, we're always, you know, thrown back on our heels. We have liberal friends that want to talk about, hey, woman's right to choose and all of this. And so we acquiesce and equivocate. We don't really know how to address that issue. But a lot of us just don't know the facts about abortion and Planned Parenthood in particular. So, you know, and a lot of people that are running for office don't know how to address the issue. Meg Whitman was completely failed at that issue. Just didn't know how to address it. She changed her perspective. She was meeting with, you know, women's groups. It was just a disaster. So what's clear to us is we need to have principled people that understand the principles behind the issue so they could speak with confidence and with boldness and not equivocate and not mince their words depending on the audience. The reality about that issue is that it was born out of eugenics. It is a fact. Now, the liberal media doesn't want you to know that fact, but it is a unequivocal fact that abortion was born out of eugenics. It was initiated by Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenicist. Margaret Sanger said horrible things about blacks, saying we're the weeds of society, we're the scourge, we're basically inept, we're retarded, you know, just horrible things about the black race, and her ultimate scheme was to eliminate or reduce the numbers of blacks. That's what precipitated Planned Parenthood. And it's well documented. If you were to see, and it's in writing, and you've seen, if you've heard of her, you could go and Google her writings and about what she said about blacks, and it's all there. So essentially, where a lot of people don't understand is that this whole issue around abortion on demand is an issue that was precipitated based upon a racist, bigoted plot to eliminate and reduce blacks in particular and or Hispanics. And if you look at how Planned Parenthood is placed, 94%. So not 19%, not 9%, not 26%, 94% of all of the clinics are placed in minority African-American neighborhoods.
And, you know, you brought that up the last time you were on this show, and I have to tell you, I have never forgotten that statistic. That has been in my brain since you brought that up. If that isn't intentional, I don't know what is.
Well, I mean, the reality is we make up 13% of the population, at best, 13%. So why is it in African-American communities when they make up only 13% of the population?
Yeah,
now, if you
scary.
Take it even further, you know, only, you know, African-Americans are 12 to 13%, but only, you know, 6%, 6 to 7% max are women. And
right.
If you take that back even further, the childbearing age for African-American women is somewhere between 15 and 44. So you got another half of that. So literally, you got 3% of an available pool in a population who can actually get an abortion. And you got 94% of all of your clinics to cater to 3% of the population. Now, the irony is that the scheme has worked masterfully because you have black women that are using Planned Parenthood, or abortion, if you will, as a way to as birth control, and so you have a large disproportional number of black women who get abortions because they're so readily available. So it has worked masterfully. Of the 52 million deaths that have been precipitated by abortion, approximately 23 million have been African American. For such a small portion of the population. So if you were running for office and you understood just that, I mean, this is really a full day seminar that we go through, we take people through, we help them understand it, we fully deconstruct all the arguments, and we're, you know, Margaret Sanger, her whole background and all of that. But at the end of the day, if you're running, you know, the argument is not whether you support women's right to choose. The argument is, well, I don't support it, not only based on my biblical beliefs and my moral beliefs, but there's an ethical issue here that has to do with racism. I don't believe that we should disproportionately harm communities of color. So my opponent here, my liberal opponent here, my Democrat friend here, wholeheartedly supports a racist, bigoted scheme against communities of color. I think the issue should be you should ask him why he supports abortion. I mean, you know, something that simple. And now the media get involved and they'll ask questions. Well, what do you mean? And then this opens up a whole dialogue, a whole narrative that we can start to educate the public in general, and a public policy can come out of this. But we don't even have the dialogue. We say, well, no, I just don't support that. And they say, well, why? Well, I just, you know, I don't know. Just morally, I just think it's wrong. Yeah, that's no answer. There's no educational moment there. And so we need candidates to be really adept.
Sure, because then they get smacked down. Yeah, they just get, when they go at it from that standpoint, when it's just a personal choice and it's a moral choice and all that, which is perfectly valid unless you want to convince somebody of something different. And when that's your platform you stand on, you know, a big hole in the sky opens up and a giant hand comes down and plucks you off the earth and you lose.
Right, because now the liberals say, well, yeah, see, all conservatives and Republicans, they're anti-women's rights. They're just, you know, anti-feminism. They don't believe that we should, you know, have the rights to our own bodies. There's nothing that you can't do anything about that. Now, liberals absolutely abhor racism. So now they'll be caught in a quandary. Well, which is the worst evil? Do we relegate these people to this level of complicit, racist, bigoted scheme against their race? Or should we, you know, is the woman's right to? But that's their dilemma they have to work through. But at least you have a principled point of view and an educational moment where we could start the narrative from the truth, as opposed to just seeming cold and sensitive and, you know, like that.
That's
the immigration
fantastic.
Issue is the same way.
All right,
so
we've
if
got
you
it.
Have time, I can go into how that should be reframed as well.
Well, we're reframing that in the next little block of time here. So stay tuned for Immigration with Kevin McGarry. And we'll take a two-minute break here. You're listening to We the People at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
And if they think we're going down, we won't bow the fight. Because I have faith America's going to figure out what's right.
Mike Smith from Corning. Check it out, folks. I love that music. Seriously, I just love it. Welcome back to We the People, brought to you by the Reading Tea Party. We're with Kevin McGarry, and we're talking about all kinds of great stuff, but I think now we're going to touch on immigration.
Well, he's got, Kevin, first I got to know, because we were thinking about it during the break, how long has the Frederick Douglass Foundation been around?
The Frederick Douglass Foundation nationally has been around about 2.5 years. The California Foundation was just started a month ago, is when we had our initial event. So it's been about a little bit over a month, actually.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you guys have not had an impact in California elections before. So you're very much a powerful and unknown quantity.
Absolutely. And we are determined to have an impact going forward.
Wow. So for all the people out there that are thinking California politics are lost, we have no reach into these major metropolitan areas where everybody is drinking the Kool-Aid, Frederick Douglass Foundation
and again,
is our secret weapon.
A great argument for coalitions. There's so
Absolutely.
Many. There's so many people out there, so many small organizations that are on the same page but not in the same game.
Absolutely, and what gives us kind of a distinctive here is Frederick Douglass himself, again, was such a patriotic pioneer in the sense that he helped end slavery. He and Abraham Lincoln, he was actually Abraham Lincoln's right-hand guy in writing the Emancipation Proclamation and other things leading up to that. So he was, you know, he's just an incredible guy. You can't, either liberal or conservative, can't say anything wrong about him. And with that, he's given us a great voice and a great opportunity to really take it to the community and start these education campaigns around politics.
So are they teaching about him in school anymore?
I think they do, but you have to take, you know, Black history.
Okay.
Oh, he doesn't count as regular history?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Because they didn't. Well, they hadn't invented Black history when we were kids because it was called history.
Right.
Of course, because I'm old. I like this one quote you guys have on the site. It would be kind of a crime not to mention it here. It's a quote by Frederick Douglass. Where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, and degrade them, neither persons nor property will be safe.
Yes.
Huh. Yowza.
He has some incredible quotes that are really... I mean, he has this... I don't have the exact quote, but, I mean, he goes into how you shouldn't give men, and especially, you know, Black men, anything additional. But they should be relying on their God-given talents and skills to achieve whatever it is they have. That's what makes the man. I'm really grossly paraphrasing, but that's, in essence, what this quote was. But he has some great, great quotes. He is well worth reading about and Googling and getting as much information as you can about him, because what he did for the United States of America is it's up there with the greats, the great patriots of the past.
That's fantastic. And so you guys will have the ability to educate in some of those inner city communities and educate candidates on how to reach out. People that would normally be, we'll just say, awkward in some of those Q&A sessions, or just flat not do it. I mean, their campaign right. People will be like, hey, just don't go there. You're gonna get, you're going to be the floor cleaner there. Don't do it.
Right, exactly.
You guys can empower them and give them the confidence to go in and say what needs to be said, and maybe we can actually reach out. So you guys have a membership component to your website that I'm sure funds your activities.
Yep.
How about...
I would encourage folks to please come and support us. Again, being a Frederick Douglass member not only gives you... the ability to participate in our events. We have an event coming up in September. We'll have a well-known speaker, and this event will be taking place in Sacramento. It's our first major event.
Is that?
So not only that, but you also have the ability to say, look, I'm a member of the Frederick Douglass Foundation. I wholeheartedly believe and support and you know, communities of color. I have no issue with that. But I believe that we should address the issues that those communities are facing from a principal point of view, just like Frederick Douglass would do.
Now, is
and that really, I think that really pretty much, you know, neutralizes the conversation.
Now, is that event open to the public, and is it primarily a fundraiser, an educational event, all of the above?
It's all of the above, and it will be open to the public. We'll start announcing that. We'll have information on our website probably in the next month or so. Members will get an early purview of that, and it's, again, it's for the weekend of, I believe it's September 9th, and somewhere around there.
Okay.
But there'll be more information forthcoming, and we'll have a great speaker at that as a keynote, and we'll have some of these workshops that will specifically address the social issues. Like, you know, what we've been discussing.
That's great.
Something else to look forward to.
That's going to be a lot of help. I mean, really, especially in California, it is our major population centers that torpedo us every single time. And we know, I mean, we all know it's lack of information.
Right.
We just know that. I mean, it's just either that or just all those people just are don't make sense. And that,
right.
The odds would beg that there's got to be more going on there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we you know, really, we've allowed the liberal media, the liberal union, to really message to communities, and unless we have a mitigating force that will help neutralize those messages and really bring out the truth, we're in a world of trouble. And so that's what the Frederick Douglass is all about.
That's awesome. Okay, now let's go to immigration. We don't want to get distracted.
You know, that's an issue that a lot of candidates, especially if you're going to run in California, it's going to be a hot issue that you're going to have to address. And, you know, we have some candidates, you know, even last time, didn't really know how to address that issue. And just addressing it coldly by saying, look, we're a nation of laws, and we need to abide by the laws, and that comes off a little bit cold and insensitive. There's a more principled way to talk about the issue and really put our liberal brethren on their heels. And it's really spoken about in the same way that you would speak about the abortion issue. It's like, you know, I don't support illegal immigration, and I believe we need to stop it and build a fence because it disproportionately harms that community. And then people will say, what? What do you mean? And say, well, you know, it's really undignified for America to continue to allow people to come here strictly for the sake of being political pawns and trying to pander to that community while putting them at great risk is, you know, it's insanely irresponsible. And then they'll say, what? And then you say, well, here's what we have here. We have tens of thousands of people being maimed and killed coming over our border. We're averaging about 10,000 deaths a year on that border. 10,000. And we have, organizations like La Raza cheerleading them on. Now, we got people putting themselves and their entire family at risk of death. Some have, you know, they're packed in vans 20 deep. Some are human trafficked. Drug traffic activity has really exacerbated our ability to properly support the people that are putting their lives at risk to get here. And so we have over 10,000 deaths that's happening every year. And for what? If I were to go and build and get the permits to put a pool in my backyard, they would tell me that I need to fence it. And they would do that because I have neighbors with kids. If I don't fence the pool, I put it in there, but I don't fence it, and the neighbors' kids come over and they drown, they'll be taking me out in handcuffs. Now, this is the exact same issue. We have 10,000 people or so that are dying on our borders for the purposes of political, so we can use them as political levers. We want to use them as pawns. And we have irresponsible groups like La Raza cheering them on to tell them to come here. We have women that are just treated completely inhumanely. I can't even go into detail what the women have to endure to get here. Raped and all kinds of stuff that they have to endure. The indignity, if they do get here, they have to live in the shadows. This is not the way that America should be, should be supporting their immigrants. If immigrants come through the front door, they should be supported and dignified as such. This is a country that believes in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and liberty and justice for all. Is it just for us to allow people to come here, live in the shadows? At best, if they get here, they get paid minimum wage. They don't feel that they're welcome because they know they're here illegally. That's an undignified existence. And, you know, yet we have our liberal brothers and sisters that say, yeah, let's just bring them all here. Knowing that they're being maimed, killed, abused in horrible ways to make the sacrifice to get here, and everybody's okay with this? Is this America? Are we serious about this? And again, if you look at the issue with the swimming pool issue, that is the issue that we're facing here. So America literally has blood on its hands because of our irresponsible policies about an open border. It's our blood. It's blood on our hands that these 10,000 people plus have been killed on our borders every year. If we put up the fence and act it responsibly like every other country in the world does, including Mexico, that has their southern borders fenced off, then we would stop the killing and stop the unnecessarily rapes and people being maimed trying to get here. This is an undignified injustice for everybody. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right.
Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that needs to be brought forth. Because, you know, liberals will say, well, no, it's really not an issue. You're trying to politicize an issue and blah, blah, blah. And so here's what I leave them with. Okay, the reality is today, if you're telling me that this is not, they're not being played as political pawns, then can you please, I'll even ask this of the president himself, explain to me, sir, how is it that you have people that are trying to escape and get a better life here in America from Cuba and from Haiti? Horrible, living circumstances that those people have. And they get on a boat and they try to roll here, and we intercept them at our Atlantic, and we put them in detention centers in Miami. And we send them at the first opportunity back to their countries of origin. How is that? How do you justify an open border on our southern hemisphere and yet allow the people from Haiti and Cuba who are escaping for a better life come here and then you send them right back? But yet you let the people... So that is, that to me, and I don't know about you, but that is a clear indication that we're playing politics. We're pandering to a new voting bloc.
Oh, big time. And there's also, Chandler's giving me the heads up. We've got to take a quick break here. Okay, we're coming back on more immigration here with Kevin McGarry, the author of Instanity. You can go to ReadingTeaParty.com, click on Radio Show. You'll get all the info there. And we'll be back with We the People here at KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All-Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, antique weapons, you name it. Reduces friction, carbon buildup, prevents rust. The first true leap forward in the evolution of firearm care. All-Temp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 1-800-301-0046.
You hear them talking about it on the radio. Did you try to read the writing on the wall?
That pretty much says it all. You're in the last half hour of We the People.
And the wall is right there at ReadingTeaParty.com.
That's right. And you all know how to reach us. You got the information, so we're going to head straight back to our wonderful Kevin McGarry and finish up on immigration.
Yeah, you got less than a half hour. If you're going to call and ask Kevin a question, you better not wait till the last 2 minutes. You just better not. You're going to call 530-605-4567, so don't say we didn't give you the number. I know nobody likes to interrupt. Everybody's like, but I didn't want to interrupt. I liked what he was talking about. All right, so Kevin, we were talking during the break. We're like, yeah, what's up with this thing with Haiti and Cuba?
Yeah, well, so it's It clearly demonstrates, clearly, now, no one can argue that the living conditions in Haiti and or Cuba
are bad.
Better than the folk. I mean, come on, we're talking about the worst living conditions in this entire hemisphere are in Haiti and Cuba. Yet, we get those people and we send them right back, right? So, what it clearly denotes is that we have racial profiling, right? If you coming from Haiti or Cuba, we don't want you. We don't have enough of you here to really carry a voting bloc that's going to keep us in power. We're going to cater to the folks coming up from Mexico. And so it's undignified from that perspective. And it clearly demonstrates that the Hispanic voters that are coming up from Mexico are being used as political pawns. And they're not dignified. And that, you know, certainly with our president saying what he was saying this week, you know, trying to be coy about alligators and moats is just insanely ridiculous conversations from a commander-in-chief. But anyway, you know, basically he's pandering. He's playing politics. He's expecting that these people are idiots. That, you know, hey, we're the party that's trying to get you citizenship, so we want you to ingratiate yourself to our party for generations as well. Now, it needs to be said that President Bush and the presidents before him didn't have the will to carry it forward either. No one really wanted to address the issue. But it's to a tipping point now, and it must be addressed. But treating these people with the indignity that, you know, hey, all we need to do is give them citizenship and we'll have their vote is, it's just, you're playing people as political pawns. That's an undignified approach for any president to take. And this president is doing it with eyes wide open. I mean, it's clear what he's doing. And yet, he's still somewhat popular? I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
And where are our brothers and sisters, purportedly our liberal friends, who want justice, you know, for people who are coming from these poor areas? How come they're not pounding on his desk saying, what in the world are you doing with Haiti and Cuba, sending those people back, and you're allowing, you know, any and all, come one, come all, from our southern border? What makes some sense out of this insanity, would you, Mr. President? They're not doing that. They're saying, oh, yeah, well, whatever, you know. You know what I mean? So people who are running for office need to bring this issue forward and reframe it and say, look, you know, I don't support it because it's disproportionately harming people. It's an undignified approach. It's putting a lot of people at risk unnecessarily. It's illegal, yes, but it has so many other bad parts of it where unspeakable atrocities are happening to people just trying to get here, and it's not right. We need to be take a principled approach and do what's right for our country, and put the fence up and give people the dignity of coming in this country legally so we can properly support them.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like too much to ask, does it?
And you know, as a illegal immigrant, I would think that if you had a choice, you would prefer to come to a country legally where you do get the full support of its citizens rather than being resented from day one.
Absolutely.
That can't
be
fun.
Could you imagine sneaking into a country? You know, I've tried to put myself in that position. I mean, I would be absolutely terrified. You really have nowhere where you can go. You'd have to hide in the shadows. You'd have to be 10 deep in a house with a family member or a friend of a family. When you are abused in any way, you're reluctant. You absolutely don't go to the police because you know you're there illegally. So there are things, even after people get here, they're abused by employers, they're abused by boyfriends, by gang members. There are atrocities that are happening with illegals that we cannot even imagine. And yet, again, we have groups like La Raza that have taken an irresponsible approach to this issue by encouraging people to continue to come here in this way. It's just a horrible injustice for everybody.
And yet the safety net is sort of growing because California keeps passing things like, in-state tuition options for people that are illegal. We keep refusing to check immigration status at the polls. I mean, if somebody's pulled over by the police, really.
And that's not the case in every state. You know, there are many states that do require a legal identification at the polls.
Right.
So do you, for California especially, I mean, because that's a biggie, especially in the California elections, when you start getting hit, I mean, you just get branded as a hater. I mean, it's pretty much of a slam dunk. If you're against immigration, you're.
Right. Unless you bring out and you educate people on the principles behind why you feel the way you feel. Of course, if you just say, well, I just don't believe it because everybody should come through the front door, like most Republicans say, then they just castigate it as insensitive and out of touch and unrealistic and, you know, wherever else. A hater, a racist,
Sure. So do you think that's an argument that, I think it's an argument that Frederick Douglass Foundation can make easier than a lot of groups?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But if you were running for office, there's a way that you could make that argument succinctly to where people get it as well. I mean, I think using the analogy of a swimming pool is it's a powerful narrative. And people should get that. I mean, if you've ever, I don't know if you guys have swimming pools in your house, but if you've ever tried to do that, they tell you, you must have a fence.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole reason why is because, you know, kids come over while you're not there or whatever, and if they drown, you're being hauled off to jail. You're wholly responsible for that.
Yeah,
well, it's the same thing with our border. Exact same principles apply.
Well, I think that those two things are responsible for a lot of, you know, just chaos and a lot of division, tons of division, and through really the narrative you put forward with the issue of abortion and also with immigration, you do get to that core of the entitlement mentality and the nanny state mentality,
mm-hmm.
Which opens the door. Maybe the last, maybe in our final segment here, maybe you can give us a sneak preview of how you're going to run up the hill on, the pension reform and all those things that we need to do. So let's take our break just a couple of seconds early so that we have plenty of time to do that, if in fact you so choose.
Perfect.
And we'll be right back with you with Kevin McGarry, the author of Instanity, here on We the People Radio at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Something new for all gun owners and sportsmen. All-Temp Tactical Lube. It's like nothing you've ever used before. It works on all firearms, pistols, rifles, and antique weapons. It reduces friction, carbon buildup, and prevents rust. A true leap forward in the evolution of firearms care. All-Temp Tactical Lube actually goes into the pores of the metal. Check us out on the web, alltemptacticallube.com. 1-800-301-0046. 800-301-0046.
If you have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
All right. We're in our last 10 minutes. We the people. You all know where we're at. We're going to get right back to Kevin McGarry, the author of Instanity.
There's some theme music for you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Okay, okay, you're gonna, we're going to take California 2012.
That's right. I love it. I love it.
All right.
So let's see where we're at. Now, I think the last bit you were talking about where we're headed, pension reform, and et cetera. I see. Is that where we wanted to go right now?
Or? That'd be great. Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be really nice to wrap up on that.
Yeah, I think essentially we're headed for bankruptcy until something is done. We have a completely incompetent and unprincipled governor who we knew he would be because he was before. And again, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. For us to elect him again and expect that this time he will have an answer, when he is the one who ushered in this whole public employee union debacle that we now have over our heads.
Yeah. Now, Kevin, the term bankruptcy is thrown around a lot. And after a while, I think if you hear the same terms over and over, you just sort of tune it out. Tell us exactly what bankruptcy will mean in the state of California to those that are either on public assistance or those receiving pensions.
Well, I don't quite know, because you know, we haven't had a state actually that an entire state that has actually filed in our recent history. But I personally think that when you have a governor that doesn't have the will and the fortitude to hold unions responsible and to for renegotiating their pension, I think it's inevitable. Now, I think the feds may come to his aid and try to buttress this up as much as possible. But I just, in my opinion, at some point, unless there is some major renegotiation done on our pension side of it, it looks desperate to me.
Because I really don't think people really wake up until they feel some pain.
Yeah, exactly. Now, for me, quite honestly, I think that if the state of California did go into bankruptcy, I think it would be, I don't advocate it, but I think that based on how things look, it may be a, you know, not totally a bad thing, because yeah, now we could have a judge renegotiate the with the unions, and we actually get some fair compensation out of that. But anyway, I don't quite know how it will look, to answer your question. But I do have a, you know, there's a whole other side. If you go to my website, there was a blog I put out a while ago that talked about this issue, specifically about employee unions, you know, public employee unions. And essentially, I put out there that we were boondoggled and bamboozled because these people that belong to public service unions are literally multimillionaires.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people don't understand how I could say that, so let me explain. Real people who are really, like, middle-class people that I know, if their employer came to them today and said, look, we have to go a different direction, we're going to lay you off, or we're going to terminate your employment right now, could be at will for anything, they can get 2 weeks' pay at best, and whatever vacation they had. That's it. They're done. Most of those people that I know would not have a safety net. They're done. If they don't get another job in 30 to 60 days, they'd be just about wiped out. That's most people I know. That's a middle-class reality. People that are rich are really set for life. So this whole wealthy moniker that our president uses and the super rich, these are people that are set for life. Ironically, public employees are literally set for life. And I don't say that, you know, despairingly or coyly. What I mean by that is they have a guaranteed income stream. When you have a guaranteed income stream, you're set for life. These people can retire at age 50. They get approximately 80 to 90% of their last 3 years' pay in some cases. In some cases, just 80 to 90% of their average income. And that is paid out until their death. that is not a middle class existence that I know.
Yeah, and that also does not include what's paid to their survivors.
That does not pay. That does not include that, and it does not include their health care. So let's just do the numbers. Let's just do the numbers real quick, so I can make the point. On average, your employee in California is probably making around $90,000 to $100,000. 80% to 90% of that, you do the math, is about $80,000. Let's even take it lower, $70,000. The average health care for those employees is approximately $25,000 because it's for the employees and their family. So you got $70,000 plus $25,000. Let's round it off to $100,000. Let's say that person is 50 now and retired. That person gets $100,000 in cash and or benefits for the rest of their life. Let's say they live until they're 75 or 80 years old, average life expectancy. That's 25-30 years. 25-30 years multiplied by approximately $100,000 is, you do the math, it's $2.5 to $3 million. Now, if you or I were to go to our insurance broker and say, look, I want an annuity that's going to pay me, on average, $100,000 for the next 30 years, they would tell us how much cash we need. I actually did this. They will do all of the adjustments for inflation and interest and all of that, and they will say you will need somewhere around $2.2 million, maybe a little less than that, depending on what kind of vehicle they put you in. But that's what you would need today, today's dollars. That's why I say these people are multimillionaires. They're literally guaranteed this amount of money.
And I think that the numbers you just gave are probably a conservative estimate, because we do know that in a lot of cases, at the very tail end of their career, they're spiking their salaries, which ends
Absolutely.
Up putting them over 100% of what
Absolutely.
They need.
Absolutely. So the reality is this whole union thing, Madison, Wisconsin, all this stuff, right, that, you know, we have the president coming out on the union side. He's talking about how these are poor, middle-class, working people. No. The reality is these people are not middle-class, and they're certainly not poor. They are wealthy people. The only people I know that are set for life are wealthy. End of story. I'm not set for life. I have no idea five years down the road what I will be making or what I won't be making. I have no idea.
And, you know, it's kind of funny, because one thing that they'll throw out at you if you challenge this system is that, well, you know, you might be jealous because you wish that you had what they had. But what they don't realize is that the rug could be pulled out from underneath them at any time. And the more self-sufficient you are, the more security you actually have.
Well, it's not even the point of jealousy. Here it is. Let's be prudent and wise. If we want to really share the wealth, and we really want to do all we can as individuals to make sure that the Republic can survive, or in this case, that California can survive, then let's be honest and put it on the table. The reality is California is in the predicament it's in because we are funding multimillionaires, right? The union workers who work for our public, who work in our public sector. It's those pensions and their health care that has us in the red, big time. Now, so that's the honest conversation. If we want to really, you know, so what I think what most taxpayers in California are looking for is, look, let's be equitable here. Let's at least negotiate parts of this pension plan, because this being set for life thing doesn't really work for most working people, because we're not set for life. The reality is most middle class people have, you know, 30, 60, 90 days of income, and if they don't do something quick, they're going to be out on the streets. So how is this equitable at all? Let's be honest and have an honest dialogue. The reason why Brown won't have that conversation come to the table is because these people are the ones who got him in office. And most liberals, the unions have backed them and got them in office. That's why the conversation is not being put forth that way. But for you and I and the rest of thinking America, we need to think through these things and not just go for the liberal narrative that's being put out there. And we must call it what it is. These people are millionaires. There's no other way around it. They're not, you know what I mean?
And they look at us.
Call somebody who has their income established for life and it's over $100,000.
The tough part is that they're
calling. It's guaranteed. you know.
We pull, Kevin, you're like a lawnmower. We pull the string and, man, you just mow all the grass, don't you? I was going to say, and then they the comment back to us all the time is, well, you know, if you were smart, you would have done that too.
Well, I mean, you know, look, I don't begrudge people that go into public service and do that. That's fine.
Yeah.
But the fact is that our governor put us in this situation, and our governor and the legislature needs to figure out a way to get us out of it. And the only equitable way that I can see is to bring the unions back to the table, tell them that they're full of crap, that we have to stop the millionaire, funding, you know, millionaires. And we truly need an equitable way that brings, you know, everybody into alignment with what's fair and just for California. You know, this is what Meg or any of the other governors would have done. This governor is not going to do it because he doesn't have the will, he doesn't have the fortitude, he doesn't have the intelligence to really pull that off. So we're stuck with it because we put him in office. But that's the way I see it.
We like the way you see it. The people in the chat room, somebody said, this guy thinks just like we do. I love this guy. So you've got a good fan club going up here.
Hey,
we've
got that's great.
We got about...
You know, the thing is we should all be thinking alike. But, you know, we've allowed the political parties and the agendas of the parties to really, you know, veil our perspective. And we need to be first Americans. Not first black, not first white, not first we need to be Americans. What's best for the Republic? And then we can all begin to build and formulate our opinions based on the principles established in the Constitution. And really, if we started that way, then we would really, the gross majority of us would absolutely be thinking that way.
Well, and on that note, we're just about at the end of our program.
Absolutely. So I got one more absolutely, and I got it in at the beginning and the end. It drives my husband nuts. Hey, so Frederick Douglass Foundation, outstanding. Get on there, folks. Get on the website. Go
join.
Check out Kevin McGarry. Go check out their organization. Kevin, we're having you up to speak. I don't care what you say. Thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
We'll see everybody next week here on We the People Radio. We're going to have Michael Prell, God willing, and The Creek Don't Rise. We're going to talk about Underdogma next week. So thanks for hanging with us this morning. You are listening to KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR Shasta Redding.